every chain. Lord, break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. There is healing. It's in the name of Jesus.
Break every chain, break every chain. there's power in the name. Amen. That's why we're gathered. God bless you. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. Let's stand. Amen. This is 24 in your handbook. A sister had requested that we sing this, and I told her, I said, well, that is how I am living tonight. Are you living by faith? Amen. It's the only way we can live in this age.
I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. I'm living by faith in Jesus above. I'm trusting, confiding in His great love. From all harm safe, in His sheltering arm, I'm living by faith, and I feel no alarm. Though tempests may blow and in Jesus above, I'm trusting, confiding in His great love. From all harm saved, in His sheltering arm, I'm living by faith, and I feel no care, though the tempest may blow, if Jesus walks close to my side. My faith in Jesus above, oh, I'm trusting, confiding in His great love. From all in His sheltering arm, I'm living by faith, and I feel no alarm. Our Lord will return to this earth some sweet day. Our troubles will then all be old. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly. I'm living by faith in Jesus above. I'm trusting, confiding in His great love. From all harm saved, in His sheltering arm, I'm living by faith. Today, what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain, the Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. I'm living by faith in Jesus above. I'm trusting, sheltering on, I'm living by faith, and I feel no
love. Amen. As we we sing that chorus again, why don't you reach out and shake somebody's hand? You might have to travel a little farther tonight. Not as many people are here, but we're going to make a joyful noise either way. God bless you. I'm living by faith. Good to be back in the house of the Lord. I'd like to start off with a testimony from Sister Stephanie Duval. It's concerning her mother, Sister Joy. Just wanted to give a praise report. Yesterday, when I left the hospital, I honestly wasn't sure Mom would ever go home again. Even this morning, when I talked to her, she didn't sound good at all. She was weak and short of air and still not moving. But when I came in this afternoon, she told me therapy had been in and helped her sit on the side of the bed for just a short time, and she stood for a second. I feel like it's such a miracle. It's a small step, but yet so huge. Can we praise the Lord? Glad to hear that. So she asked that we continue to remember her mom, Sister Joy Duval, in prayer. She is still hospitalized, but we pray that God will restore her and take that pain away and heal her hip. I also have a prayer request from Brother Jimmy Ard. He is asking the church to pray for me needing the Lord's direction on my job situation. So he can definitely meet that need. Sister Sharon Toth asks that we pray for her friend Carol. She's been having chest pain. And then we also have an unspoken prayer request for Sister April Stutzman. So how many of you have an unspoken prayer request you'd like to make known to the Lord by an uplifted hand? Amen. We missed you, Brother Trevor. Why don't you come on up and pray over these? Maybe one of these times he can share with us some of his testimonies from his meetings. Sure. Always love hearing about what the Lord's doing around the world through his evangelism. God bless you. Bless you,
brother. Amen. Good to be home. I woke up at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Monday night, I think it was, and flew home. Feels about like 2 a.m. right now, but, and that's about when I was going to bed every night, was about 2 a.m. their time, which was 6 our time, so I'm a little off tonight, you know? So the pastor will have to forgive me if I fall asleep on him or something like that, because it'll feel like 2 a.m. Well, you shouldn't have church at 2 a.m. if you don't want somebody to fall asleep. But anyway, I'll give a quick testimony since Brother Furman brought it up, one that really blessed me. I had a sister come up to me in Norway. I preached last weekend in Norway, and it was the same meetings that I preached a year ago that I was at, same brother hosting it and everything. And had a sister come up to me on Saturday night and say, you know, that time when you preached, and she started telling me a sermon on Joseph that I had preached, and she took about 2 minutes and recapped the entire sermon from a year ago. And I'm like, boy, I'm happy if somebody remembers the next day what I preached. This sister could tell me in detail what I preached last year and just talked about how it had impacted her. And I had used the scripture, James 5:16, confess your faults one to another that ye may be healed. And she said there were just things in my life that I needed to get out. And I didn't know who to talk to, but I went to the pastor and started talking to him about a few things, and he was helping me with scriptures and helped me get over some things, and it just really blessed my life. So I was like, well, praise the Lord. Somebody was delivered, somebody found freedom, and from a year ago. And I thought, well, that's Norwegians. They take about a year to tell you something, you know. So I'm excited for what I might hear. If I go next year, I'm excited for what the testimonies from this last weekend might be, but they probably are too nervous to say anything yet on those. But anyway, good to be back home, and let's just take all these requests to prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we know that you're a good God, that you're a mighty God, and that you love to show us your power. You love to have us lean on you. As we were singing, I'm living my faith, and I feel no alarm. Father, I was just thinking about that. And am I truly living by faith enough to where I don't feel alarm? To where when the phone rings and or the text message come and those times when our heart just kind of leaps to our throat, Lord Jesus, but yet to remember that we're living with a God who cares, who understands, who knows, the one who sees. Lord, we're so thankful to be your children, to know that we can keep our thoughts in you, to dwell in you, and that you hold us, and that you comfort us, and that you're there, Lord, and that you take care of the issues in our life. Our brother Jimmy is looking for leading on his job situation. Father, you know, you care. You're even there now in his situation. Lord, I pray that you would give him that wisdom that he's asking for, as the scripture says, if any lack wisdom, let him ask, doubting nothing. God, our brother's asking for wisdom. Would you grant it to him, Lord, and would you bless his life exceedingly and abundantly, Lord? Father, we thank you for the progress that Sister Stephanie's mother has made. Pray that you'd continue to work strength in her life. Father, all these other requests that were read, Father, I think Sister Sharon, a friend of hers, Father, Lord, would you go and meet that need? Touch her heart, touch her life, Lord. Give her strength in her body. Lord, for this service tonight, would you come? There's just a few here, but Lord, we know that you're not a God of numbers necessarily, but you're definitely a God of quality, Lord. We just pray that your spirit would be here, speaking and ministering to heart of every believer here, Lord Jesus. Lord, we're looking forward to your soon coming, Father. But, Lord, as we wait for that physical coming, may we never, Father, may we never let the word become common. Let your spirit become common to us. But may we look to it and cleave to it, hold to it with all of our lives. Father, we love you. Bless this service now. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Brother Layton, we missed you as well. It's good to have you back, brother. God bless you. Amen. I know there's a lot of sickness, but I know God's more than able to heal all of those. Amen.
I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. I sent my word and I healed your disease. I am the Lord, your healer. Like that once more. I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. I sent my word and I healed your disease. I am the Lord, your healer.
You are the God. If the brothers would please come at this time.
Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? Oh, I'm so glad the Lord brought me out. And I've been happy since the Lord brought me out. Oh, I've been happy since the Lord brought me out. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? Oh, I'm so glad the Lord brought me out. Oh, aren't you glad that the Lord brought you out? Oh, aren't you glad? Since the Lord brought me out. Oh, I've been singing since the Lord. brought me out. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. And I've been happy since the Lord brought me out. Oh, I've been happy since the Lord brought me out. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out.
Amen. Can you say that tonight? God bless you. Let's stand. Amen. This is 381 if you don't know it.
This world is not my home. Oh, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. It up with Jesus many years ago. I know He'll see me through, though I am weak and poor, for I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do when your angels beckon me? In the army of
Aren't you glad tonight that you're a soldier in the army of the Lord? Amen. God bless you. Good to be in church. Amen. Half the church, I think, is in Florida, so it'll be nice when they get back from fall break. But a sister had texted me and Rebecca today and said they ran into one of the other saints from the church in Florida. Didn't know they were even there. So, amen. What are the chances? But, amen. Good to be in church tonight, isn't it? Amen. Good to be in church. Good to have Brother Trevor back with us. Amen. Glad to see, even though he went to Scotland, he's not wearing a kilt tonight. We appreciate it, brother. And thank you. We're going to have to start muting his drums after the songs are over. And good to have Brother Layton back. Amen. He was in Florida for a while preaching as well, and Georgia. And good to have him back as well. Amen. And good to be in the presence of the Lord most of all. Amen. God bless you. Turn with me, if you would, to St. John's Gospel, chapter 13. St. John, chapter 13. And just want to read a couple of verses there tonight. I know we omitted the communion foot washing service on Sunday night, but we'll read a little bit of the foot washing scripture tonight and go right along with this that we looked at last week. We're still looking at this thought of yield, but I want to pick up on what we were looking at last week on 6 foot of dirt. In St. John chapter 13 and verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Amen. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. And just want to have a word of prayer tonight. And as we do, Sister Maddie Bryant, Brother Gabe's wife, had asked that we remember the son of one of her friends in prayer tonight, and that we pray over a prayer cloth for him. He's only 3 years old, but he's having some emotional and mental related issues. So we want to pray over this prayer cloth tonight. You know, the scripture said that they took from the body of St. Paul handkerchiefs and aprons, and that they laid him on the sick, and that demons and sicknesses were cast out of him. And we know that Brother Branham said that in his ministry, that the prayer cloth ministry was actually, there was more testimonies that came forth from that than actually the prayer lines and things. So we believe in that, and we recognize tonight that we're not St. Paul, we're not Brother Branham, but we serve the same Jesus Christ. And it wasn't St. Paul's hands or Brother Branham's hands, but it was that God was using them as vessels that he could minister through. And so we still believe that he's the same God tonight. Brother Branham said he has no hands but your hands and no lips but my lips. So let's join together over this prayer cloth tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, for this cloth that I hold in my hand, you see the need. You see this child, Father. Lord, if it was my child, I would want somebody to pray the prayer of faith for it, Lord. And Lord, I would want someone that believed in a God of Hebrews 13 and 8, that you're still the same today that you was back there on the sands of Galilee. Lord, our hearts go out to this young little man, Lord, and we pray that your Holy Spirit would go to him. Lord, may you anoint this handkerchief as I minister tonight. I recognize, Lord, that I am of no worth in myself, Lord, to be able to do anything, to touch a cloth and be able to anoint it. But, Lord, we believe that the same anointing of the Holy Spirit is here tonight, Lord, that was back there on the day of Pentecost to be able to anoint. And so we just pray that your anointing would go with this cloth and touch the child and heal it, Father. Lord, may as he touches the cloth, may it be as though he were touching the hem of your garment there. Amen. Lord, in Nazareth, Father, we pray. And I ask that you'd move on the scene in a special way for those that are here. Lord, for those that are traveling, protect them. For those that are sick, may you heal them, Father. Lord, be with us tonight. We're a needy people as well. And Lord, no doubt there's needs and questions on people's hearts. And I pray that you would just anoint me, Lord, in a way to where the Holy Spirit would lead me and guide me up and down each pew here tonight, Lord, to the needs of the people. Lord, may you minister to those needs and encourage hearts, I pray, Lord. May we go out of here saying, didn't our hearts burn within us? Lord, not as Brother Nathan spoke, but Lord, as you begin to speak to our hearts through the word and the reading of the quotes and scriptures and whatever path you would take me down, Father, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. And the church said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. What a scene that we look at in this opening scripture tonight. to recognize that the God of heavens and earth had come down and he had created a body, a blood cell in the womb of a virgin, and he had came and dwelt in this body, that the fullness of the Godhead would come when he went and was baptized of John. John said, I saw the Spirit descending and it stayed upon him, and the fullness of the Godhead bodily, Paul said, was pleased to dwell in him. And that this vessel that God had created to come and live in, a tabernacle that he could dwell in, and now as he's getting ready to go and be crucified, and the very one that was going to betray him was sitting there that night at the supper, and the devil puts in his heart to betray him, and he's sitting there, and Jesus, knowing all of these things, knowing what he's about to face, knowing that he's about to have to go to Calvary, and the physical pains that he would go through and the heartbreak to see his own children crying for his blood, the very ones that he came to save, and they rejected him. The scripture said he came to his own and his own received him not. And he was manifested in such a way that they had no reason to turn him away. They had no excuse. He had been there and had done so many things. They had seen so many miracles. And he said, if you don't believe me for the work's sake that I do. And he had the people would look at him and they would say that he was not a man of word only, but he was a man of word indeed. And he had power with his doctrine. He wasn't just a theological idea or some psychological affair, but demons were afraid of this templed indwelling of the Holy Spirit standing there in flesh. Demons would tremble and sinners would come to their senses and repent, and the sick would be healed and the dead would be raised. And now he would come, and knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and that he went from God. Brother Bram said he came from pillar of fire and he went back to pillar of fire. He came from spirit and dwelt in flesh among men, and then he went back to spirit so that he could come and divide himself on the day of Pentecost among men again and women. And he would stand there, and knowing that he came from God and that he went to God, he didn't stand there and get arrogant with them and tell them what a bunch of idiots that they were, but the very God, the very creator of heavens and earth, tabernacling in a human vessel that he had created to express himself, the very attribute of God that he could express himself through Christ. He came to the earth through Christ to manifest himself and to reconcile man back to himself through this flesh body that he dwelt in. He stands there, and knowing all of these things, knowing that he came from God and that he went to God, he gets a basin and he pours water in it, and he gets down beside his disciples' feet and he begins to wash their feet and to dry them with the towel wherewith he was girded. The God of heavens and earth comes and kneels before unworthy fishermen and ignorant and unlearned men, and he kneels, and they hadn't just had a pedicure. They hadn't been wearing nice leather shoes and with their nice dress socks and things, but here these men walking barefoot or in sandaled feet and the dust of the earth and the stink of the animals and all this on their feet, and the God of heavens and earth kneels down before them, and it was more than Peter could handle, Brother Furman. It was more than he could receive, because he could look back and he could think, this is the man that touched the casket there at the widow of Nain's son and the dead set up. This is the one that Mary said, do whatever he says, you go and do it. And he spoke and told him to pour some water into some other barrels, and the water was turned to wine. This was the one that had cursed the fig tree, and the next day it was dead. This was the one that had walked into Jairus' daughter's little bedroom there, and there she lay, and the doctor said she was dead, but yet he said she lived. And all scientific proof said that she was dead, but he spoke life to her. And he spoke peace to her. And I want to say tonight, when he speaks something, no matter what anything else or anybody else says, when he speaks, it's going to be that way. Amen. When he speaks and says that you're healed, it doesn't matter what the doctor said. It doesn't matter what your body feels like. It doesn't matter what the symptoms are. When he speaks, it's going to be that way. Amen. A man, Peter had sat there and he had walked and he had seen Jesus go to the graveside of his friend and he had wept with human tears running down his face and he had cried to think of the suffering of his friend dying and the suffering of the broken hearts of his sister. But then Brother Branham said he would straighten that little frail body and he would say, Lazarus, come forth. Didn't matter how dead he was. Didn't matter how much his sisters thought that he stunk. Didn't matter how big the stone in his way was. Didn't matter that his nose had begun to sink in. Didn't matter that the skin worms were crawling through this man's body now. When he spoke, it was going to happen. Amen. When he spoke, it would be that way. He would speak again through human lips in this age and stop storms and speak tumors out of existence and squirrels into existence. And he would speak through human lips in the days of Abraham, and a ram would be there because he was Jehovah Jireh and he could provide where there was no provision. He could provide for the widow woman who had no oil in her barrels, but she could go and borrow some from the neighbors and borrow all the pots and barrels she could find, and he could provide in her time of need. Amen. He was the God that could speak through a prophet that when a man had lost a borrowed axe head and he could make iron swim in the water, scientifically impossible, but when he spoke, it was going to happen. Amen. He could speak and tell a prophet through the lips of a prophet. He could speak and tell a man to go dip in the water 7 times and that his leprosy would become as clean as a little baby's skin. And the man even wondering, how could these things be? But yet when God spoke, it would happen. I want to say tonight, it doesn't matter how he speaks. He might speak through your neighbor. He might speak through a tape. He might speak through your parents. He might speak through a little Christian friend that you've got. Or he may speak through the pastor or the deacon or the Sunday school teacher. He might speak through that still small voice to your heart, or he may speak through nature, or he may speak through your own conscience that's condemning you for the things that you're doing. But however he speaks, if you can receive it, it'll be that way. If we could recognize his voice tonight in the way that they could back there and realize when he speaks, Mary said, whatever he says, do it. It might seem crazy. It might seem impossible. It might seem ridiculous to your neighbor, but whatever he says, do it. Because when he speaks, it's going to come to pass. Paul said, what if some didn't believe? Would unbelief hinder God? God forbid. So God's purpose will be fulfilled with you or without you. But I don't know about you. I want to be part of the fulfilling of his word. Amen. As we've said many times, taking people on the tour is there to South Boston, where Brother Branham said that man came out with the little corduroy hat on, and Brother Branham had seen him in the vision, and the angel had told him that he was going to tell him how to get to the little nail girl's house. And the man, as he comes out there, and Brother Branham begins to speak to him, he said the man began to weep. He said because he didn't realize it, but he was part of the vision. Amen. Maybe sometimes we don't realize it. Maybe sometimes we look at ourselves and our inadequacies and our failures and all that, and we can't recognize it, but you're part of the vision tonight. Amen. You're part of the thinking of God, that when he looked down through time, he saw you and he knew you and he cared about you and he called you and placed you for such a time as this. Amen. The God, the creator of heavens and earth, and he comes and he washes fishermen's feet. And we think we're somebody. Peter couldn't take it. He said, you'll never wash my feet. I've done seen too much, Lord. I've done seen too much. I've seen when the rest of them walked away there. And they left you because you had begun to teach us about what's taking place here tonight of the breaking of the bread and the washing of the feet. And they didn't catch by revelation what you were talking about. In fact, Lord, I didn't understand it at the time either. But I stuck around long enough to see what you was talking about when you said, unless you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you can't have any part with me. I didn't understand it at the time, Lord. But I'm beginning to catch a little bit of revelation. He says, I'm not going to let the same hands that could heal the blinded eyes and that could heal the lame and raise the dead. I'm not going to let those hands touch my dirty feet. I'm a sinner, Lord. See, Peter knew what he was, and he knew who Jesus was. He's a lot further along than some of us. Some of us, we get to a spot where we recognize who Jesus is, but it's hard for us to recognize who we are. And Peter would look and see the creator of heavens and earth, to where Jesus would ask them, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And here Peter would have enough revelation to grasp it and say, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And now the Christ, the Son of the living God, wants to wash his feet. And he said, you'll never wash my feet. I won't allow it to happen. Here, he could stand there when the rest of them would turn away, and Jesus would say, you going to go too, Peter? He said, to whom would we go, Lord? Where would we go? I'm not going back to my fishing job. I'm not going back to my denomination. I'm not going back to my mommy's church or my daddy's church or back to this tradition or that tradition. I'm not going back to the Pharisees or the Sadducees. I've come too far to go back now. Whom would we go to, Lord? What website could we turn to? What theological man-made doctrine or legalism or tradition could we turn to once we've seen God manifested in the flesh? To whom would we go? He said, you'll never wash my feet, Lord. And Jesus said, well, Peter, if you don't, you have no part with me. He said, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head too. You see, there was something about it, as much as it grieved his heart to see the Lord Jesus washing his feet, if it meant you can't have no part with me, he was willing to backpedal on all his words and his blanket statements and his hard line drawn in the sand. Lord, you'll never wash my feet. Jesus said, well, that's okay. You can't have any part with me. He said, okay, let me erase that line in the sand real quick here. No line, Lord, no line. Amen. Some of us ought to erase some of our lines more often. Oh, this brother, he'll never make it. Or they believe it this way and they'll never be bright. And this one did this and that one did that. We're going to draw our lines. Oh, it's time to bury some lines in the sand. Pour the sand back over them tonight, Lord. The Unwelcome Christ, 1955, the Prince of Glory washed men's feet, took the place of the lowest flunky. Shame on you when you think you're something. Again, Resurrection of Lazarus, 1951. What gets me is to see people who think they're better than somebody else. Brother, we got plenty of it. That's right. What are you anyhow? 6 foot of dirt. I was passing by a museum not long ago, and they had the analysis of a man's body that weighed 150 pounds worth 84 cents. That's right, a 150-pound man has about enough chemicals about him to make 84 cents, just about enough to whitewash, to sprinkle a hen's nest, and oh, I don't know, a little bit of calcium you could hold on the end of a pen or something worth 84 cents. Then you'll put a $5 hat on it and stick your nose up. If it was to rain, you'd drown. Some woman are at the, that's right, and you'll think you're something. That's right, brother. What the world needs today, now listen, because he's going to tell us, what the world needs today is not a new man or not a new president, but an old-fashioned St. Paul's revival and the Bible Holy Ghost preached back in his church in its power. He said, that's right. Amen. That's what the church needs tonight. Amen. Not a new movement, not a new doctrine, not a new personality, not a new shrine or a new memorial or a new something of somebody's man-made legalism or tradition. But what we need is the Holy Ghost in power working through flesh again, working through men and women, speaking through men and women. Oh, my. It may be 2 a.m. to Brother Trevor, but I hope we can keep him awake tonight. I am the resurrection and the life, 1952. Well, I didn't know. He's talking about the woman there he called the Duchess. He said, oh, the Duchess wanted to see him. And he said, well, there's all these other people lined up here to pray, be prayed for. And they said, well, she paid to let us use the land that she's here on. Let us put the tent up here and things. And so would you come and greet her? And he said, when he did, she had all these rings on and everything out here. And said, are you Dr. Branham? He said, no, I'm Brother Branham. And said, she put her hand out and said, I'm charmed. And he said, well, I didn't know what the woman was talking about. I reached up and got a hold of that big old fat hand, and there with about 40 rings on it, looked to me like I got it. I said, get it down here so I'll know you when I see you next time. Yeah, putting on a lot of dog. What was she? 6 foot of dirt out yonder. That's right. Oh my, but many times we look at somebody And they drive a little nicer car, or they can pay a little bit more tithes, or they did a little bit more of this, or they're a little bit more popular in the religious ranks of the message, or in the political ranks locally or nationally or whatever it would be. And you know, if we're not careful, we begin to bow down a little bit to those things. But a prophet of God would stand there, didn't matter how much the woman had, didn't matter how many thousands of dollars worth of rings she had on her hand, it was no more to him than the prostitute on the street or the beggar woman in the alley. She was 6 foot of dust, just like the rest of us. Amen. We came into this world with nothing, and we can't take any of it out. You might gain a lot here on earth. You might gain more than I could ever imagine, but you won't take any more out with you than I can take out, or than the drunk in the alley, or the beggar on the street can take out. You can't take it with you. Amen. You didn't bring it with you, and you sure can't take it with you. Acts chapter 10, verse 31, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Paul in Romans chapter 2, verse 11 says, for there is no respect of persons with God. Amen. So what does that mean, Brother Nathan? It means that there's no superior church. There's no superior address. There's no superior man or woman or bank account, or no superior social status, or no superior class, or no superior race or color, or a religious movement or whatever it would be. There is no respect of persons with God. He looks at a person's heart and he sees that they have a soul, and he came to die for them. And whether they're right or wrong, or message or Pentecostal or Baptist or Nazarene or Presbyterian or Democrat or Republican or Independent or whatever they would be, white, black, yellow, brown, red, whatever color or flavor or height or weight or whatever it would be, God's not looking to those things. Brother Branham never asked him in a prayer line, now are you Pentecostal, or do you believe my message, or are you this or that? What church do you go to? Who's your pastor? What do you believe about the millennium? What do you believe about this doctrine? He didn't have a spreadsheet that he had to question him about before he would allow them into the prayer line. It's sad that a lot of churches have got to about that spot where you've got to fill out their questionnaire before they'll decide whether you can participate in their religious services or not. God is not a respecter of persons. Did you do enough works? Did you do enough this? Did you attend enough services? Did you pay enough tithes? Did you do this? Did you do that? Are you this? Are you that? Do you believe this way? Do you lean that way? Do you fellowship with this brother over there? Why is it? Because we respect persons. But God's not a respecter of persons. Oh, you're friends with the pastor? I'll treat you real nice then. Oh, you're the pastor's children? Well, I'll treat you a little different than I would just one of the lay members' children then. I'll be a little bit more polite to you, and I'll let you by with a little bit more, and I'll do this and I'll do that. Respect of persons. James chapter 2, verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. He goes on to talk about how if a man comes in with flashy clothes and things into the church, and you give him the upper seats, and then a man comes in with poor clothes and things like that, and you give him the lower seat because he's not dressed as nice as this other man. He said, you do wrong. We don't serve the Lord with respect of persons. And yet it creeps right in, doesn't it? Now, we should respect everybody. Amen. Regardless of their title or their position or their color or their creed or whatever it is, we should respect everybody. Brother Bam said he was interested in one race, and that was the human race. Amen. So we should have respect one to another, and we should respect God, but we shouldn't have respect to each other in the way that, well, Brother Trevor, he's flown all these miles and he's preached all these services, and Brother Ben over here, you know, he's not a minister, he's just a singer, so I'm going to prefer Brother Trevor and do some things for him that I wouldn't do for Brother Ben, or you know, well, this other brother over here, he's a lot more popular and his ministry's more dynamic, and this other brother over here, he doesn't hardly get out anywhere or do anything. So we're going to prefer him or prefer this, or we're going to, this one over here, they're a better singer, so we're going to give them every night a special. And this one over here, they can't hardly carry a tune in a bucket, so if they ask, just tell them we're full every service on specials till it's about like this when everybody's on vacation, and then let them sing. Nobody sang a special tonight, did they? Okay, I'm safe, I guess. Whew. Respect of persons. Respect of persons. Right. Condemnation by representation, 1960. Look at it today. These high-minded, they've interbred it into the churches till the church don't want some poor illiterate person who really loves the Lord to come in there, and maybe the preacher will say something. They say amen. They lead him out the door. They don't want him in their congregation. If he can't dress just right and dress like the Joneses or somebody, you see, they don't want them in there. If they can't drive a fine car, drive an old junk up in front of the church. Brother, oh, can't you see? And many of the people today won't even welcome the color people into their churches. Now, I know that's not PC today, but you have to realize he's saying this back in the 50s or in 1960 rather. And let's see what he goes on, what his expression and his attitude is about it. He says they won't even let them in their churches. Oh, God, have mercy on such hypocrites. Amen. God have mercy on such hypocrites that wouldn't let somebody in the door because of their color or their race or because of their status or because of their class or because of the type of car they could drive or the type of job they had or the type of clothes they could wear. He said, God have mercy on such hypocrites. But, you know, that creeps right in around message churches. You've got your little circles and your little classes, and this group over here gets treated a little bit better because they're buddy-buddy with the pastors and the deacons, and this group over here gets treated a little bit better because they're doctrinally aligned with the movement of the church, and then this group over here, they're kind of outcasts because we don't really like their lifestyle, and we don't really like the way that they are, and we don't really like the way that they behave, and we don't really like, you know, they don't just say yes to everything that we do and say, so we're going to treat them a little different. God have mercy on such hypocrites. He says, God, I want to always, as long as I've got a church, the doors are open for whosoever will. I don't care if you come in a wheelbarrow, you come. Well, praise the Lord. I don't know how you came tonight, but you got here. If you had to be peddled or pushed or hauled or whatever you had to be, if somebody had to jump you or fill you with oil or whatever it was, you got here. I don't care if you come in a wheelbarrow, you come in, you come on. He says, you come on. I don't care if you're wearing overalls. I'll say one thing, you get right with God, and a pair of overalls can sit down by a tuxedo suit and they'll put their arms around one another and call each other brothers. Sure will. It sure will. A calico dress can sit by a silk one and put her arms around and say, sister. Yes, it does. Something to you, breathes it back. Amen. He's not saying, you know, everybody has to wear overalls and everybody has to wear calico and anybody that wears a silk or a tuxedo or drives a nice car, they're just out. No, he's saying the Holy Ghost will make you put your arm around your brother, no matter what his color or status or how much money he's got in the bank or no matter how much nicer car he can drive or nicer clothes that he can wear. If he's got the nicest suit and the biggest house and the most fanciest car and all the church, and you're out here and you can barely borrow a loaf of bread from somebody, it'll make you put your arm around one another and say, look, I may not have what he's got, but he's my brother. Amen. And the other brother can look at him and say, I might be blessed better than he is, and he may not be able to dress as nice as me and ride in as nice a car as me. When I go down the highway, it's smooth and quiet and nice sailing. When he goes down, it's bumpity bumpity and clumpity clumpity and bangity bangity, but we made it to church anyhow. Amen. And we can put our arms around one another and call each other brother. Amen. That's what the Holy Ghost will do. It'll reach your arm out to the next person. Say, you're my brother, you're my sister. Whether they see everything exactly like you or not. Whether they look exactly like you or not. Whether they drive as nice a car as you or not. Whether they have as nice a clothes as you or not. It'll make you call them brother. The resurrection, 1953, there's people putting on too much dog, we call it in the street expression. What are you anyhow but 6 foot of dirt? God have mercy on you. I don't care how much you can dress, how you can act, what kind of home you can live in, what kind of car you can drive. If you're not born of the power and spirit of the resurrected Jesus Christ, you're lost and will go to hell just as sure as a martin will go to its box. Amen. That's the truth. Oh, my. Amen. Amen. So you see, the emphasis was not on how much we could memorize or how big our bank account could be or how much tithes we could bring into the church or how nice our clothes were or who drove the newest car or who had the newest hairdo or who had the nicest suit and the most expensive this and the highest paying job. The emphasis was on get the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Sad that a lot of message churches have got away from that. Amen. But I pray that the emphasis here will always be on Jesus Christ and a personal relationship between him and individuals. As we looked at last week, I know it scares people to death, but Brother Branham admitted that he was one of these people that he was talking about that was 6 feet of dirt. And Paul admitted he didn't want to be gloried up above somebody else in his ministry, gloried up above Apollos's and this one over here and that one over there. He said, you know, all are Christ's, and I planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So we have to be careful. It's okay to respect a man's position and respect his ministry, but you want to be careful that we don't start having tear levels of brothers, and well, I'll respect this brother a little bit more because, you know, he actually camped and fished and things with Brother Branham, and this brother over here, he's only been in the message 3 years, so I don't respect him as much. If he's got the Holy Ghost, he deserves just as much respect as any other man, regardless of how many years he's been in the message or how much he can quote or whose sleeping bag he slept in or whatever. That's wonderful. I thank God for those things. I was telling my brother the other day, if I had Elijah's staff, I'd sure respect it and want to have it right there with me, but I wouldn't bow down and worship it and make a shrine out of it. Amen. Amen. It's not respect of persons, it's respect of the Holy Spirit in the person. Amen. You say, well, Brother Nathan, how do I know? How do I know if somebody's got the Holy Ghost or not? Exactly. Exactly. Amen. We don't get to pick and choose and say, well, Brother Layton, you know, he wore a purple shirt tonight and I wore a red one. So if he had the Holy Ghost, the Lord would let him to wear a red one just like he did. See, Brother Anthony, he's got it over here. He caught the vision. He got the memo. And we begin to compare, and well, this one did it this way and that one did it that way. And, you know, and we begin to try to pick and choose who's got the Holy Ghost. God has never emailed me the list of who has it and who doesn't have it. So what I find that we should do is treat everybody as if they were elect, whether their works are acting like it or not. Because a lot of you, a few years ago, your works didn't act like you was elect. But as time progressed and as God began to deal with you, you recognized that what Brother Branham said in the Church Age book was absolutely true, that sometimes it takes a man a long time to realize that he's the seed of God. But if he's the seed of God, no matter how long it takes him to recognize it, he's seed because God said he was seed. Amen. God didn't change him from a pig into a sheep or from a buzzard into an eagle, but he was an eagle to begin with. Amen. Amen. Sometimes it just takes some of us longer to recognize than others, but if we treat everybody the same, then we won't have to worry about offending the elect. Believest thou this, 1950, God don't look at your money or the way you dress, he looks at your heart. Hallelujah. I'm glad that this old-time religion will make a pair of overalls and a tuxedo suit hug one another and call them brother. We'll make a calico dress and a silk set together and call each other sister. Takes away pride. That's what's the matter with the church today. Got too starchy, too much pride. Let down. You're in 6 foot of dirt anyhow. That's right. Got a soul's got to meet God someday. That's what's the matter with our Pentecostal church and other holiness churches. They get up to pride. They get a good church and a nice place and think we want a pattern after the world. That's where God's people always got in trouble, when they pattern after the rest of them. He's our pattern. Hallelujah, he says. He's our pattern. Amen. How should we pattern, Brother Nathan? Should we pattern that, well, bless God, we're better than somebody else, and we've got more truth, and we've got this, and we've got nicer that, and we've got more anointed this, and more anointed that? He's our pattern. What did he do? He got down on his hands and his knees, and he began to pour water into a basin and wash the disciples' feet. Men that he was way beyond in revelation, further than they were. Oh, well, they don't see it like we do. Well, hey, the disciples didn't see a speck on the earth of what Jesus could see by revelation. But he humbled himself and he washed their feet. And there Peter trying to argue with him, you'll never wash my feet. And he thought, oh, Peter, if you, I knew before the foundation of the world I was going to wash your feet. You can kick and you can scream and you can do whatever you want and say whatever you want and make up your mind and be stubborn or whatever. But I know that I'm going to wash your feet tonight because I saw you before the foundation of the world and I ordained you to be here for this time and this place. And you've tried to run from it and you've tried to think that you weren't worthy of it. But yet here you are and here I am and here the water is. He's our pattern. He didn't say, I'm better than somebody else. He was better than everybody else. Amen. All the rest of them, Jew, Sadducee, white, black, yellow, brown, whatever color they was all born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the earth speaking lies, and here a virgin-born Son of God comes. He had no sin to repent of. He didn't have to say, thus saith the Lord. He said, I say unto thee. And he kneels down and he washes their dirty feet and he humbled himself. And he's our pattern. Not, oh, I'm somebody. My church is better. We're righter. We're smarter. We're deeper. We're this. We're further. We're that. We're that. Sounds like a Pharisee or a Sadducee to me, not his pattern. He didn't say, John, you big idiot. Why would you ask if I'm he or should another one come? There you stood on the river and said I was he. Why would you do that? He said, never was there a man born by a woman like John. John gave him, Brother Bram said, the worst insult he could give him. And he turned right around and gave John the best compliment that could be given. And he's our pattern. But when somebody insults us or questions our anointing or our leading or our Holy Ghost, we're ready to roll up our sleeves. Bless God, don't you know who I am? Don't you know where I go to church? Don't you know how many years I've been in the message? 6 feet of dirt. Jeremiah 9, verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Oh, my goodness. These are things that a lot of people glory in. Look how smart I am. Look how strong I am. Look how rich I am. He said, don't let the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither the mighty glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exerciseth loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. You want to glory in something? Glory in that you know the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What have you got to glory in, Brother Nathan? All I can say is amazing grace. How sweet the sound that he would save a wretch like me. That he would come and visit this worthless piece of humanity, 84 cents worth of dirt. And yet he would come and make himself known unto human clay like you and me. And not only reveal himself mentally or educationally, but he would come and live in that same human dust. What have you got to glory in, Brother Nathan? Only in Jesus Christ. Not in myself, not in my heritage, not in my bank account, not in my cars or my house or my intelligence or this, that, or the other. The only thing I can glory in is Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 31, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Amen. A deceived church by the world, 1959. Brother, all the knowledge that we can accumulate, what good does it do? We're 6 foot of dirt. We're all dying by inches and minutes. Our knowledge means nothing. We want to know him. Amen. You want to glory in knowledge? Don't glory in how many quotes you can quote and how many scriptures you've memorized. That's wonderful. That's good. We should do that. Study to show yourself approved. But don't glory in your memory. If time tarries, it'll probably go. So don't glory in that. Don't glory in your strength. Don't glory in your ability. Don't glory in all these things. You want to glory in something? Glory in the fact that you know Jesus Christ, if you know him. And if you don't know him, I would encourage you to get to him tonight while there's still time to get to him. Amen. We want to know him. Our knowledge means nothing. But Brother Nathan, I've studied it and I've figured it out. And I can argue the serpent seed up and down, left and right and back and forth with somebody. And I can debate the Godhead and I can do this and I can do that. And, oh my, what does it make us a lot of times? Just an educated heathen. It's good to know those things. I thank God that we are able to know those things. But if you can read in this age, you can know a lot of those things. Brother Bram said to know the baptism, the correct water baptism, you didn't even have to have revelation. You just had to be able to read because it's right there. So I can't glory in that. I can't glory in my wisdom or my knowledge or my this or my that. If I'm going to glory in me or in anybody else, I'll glory in the fact that, you know what? They know Jesus. That's the only glory that the disciples would accept in the book of Acts. They would come to them and look in amazement when Peter and John stood there by the gate called Beautiful. And here a crippled man had been raised and Peter said, hey, don't look at us as though by some power that we had. He put a stop to it real quick. Don't look at us. Don't glory us. Don't worship our flesh here. Paul shipwrecked there. And here he goes onto that little island. And here they thought, oh, he got bit by a serpent. He must be a murderer and some evil man. And then he shook it off in the fire and they thought he was a god. But he didn't let them worship him. He put a stop to it. But one thing that they didn't stop was when they said they recognized that these men were ignorant and unlearned. And they said, yeah, that's right. Amen. That's us. That's me. But they had been with Jesus. They recognized that they were ignorant and unlearned, but they had been with Jesus. And they said, that I will take credit for. Right. Amen. I don't know a lot of things. I'm not good at a lot of things. I'm not this and I'm not that. I don't want to take credit or glory for this or that. But one thing I can credit, I've been with Jesus. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. I'll take credit for that. Amen. If somebody will recognize I've been with Jesus. The Seal of Christ, 1955, he says, preachers, get up here and kneel down this altar like preachers ought to do. Amen. Come on, seekers. I invite you in the name of Jesus Christ and challenge your faith. If you want to see a real revival, come start it in your own soul. Amen and amen. Come, O you of sin oppressed. Oh, I want to see revival, Brother Nathan. Could you preach us a good sermon? Could you play us a good tape? Could you invite some really fiery preachers in? You want to see revival? Come and start one in your own soul. Don't depend on somebody else. Well, I'll wait for Brother so-and-so. I really like him, and he's 6 feet of dirt. I'll wait for this, and I'll wait for that. I'll wait for this camp meeting, and I'll wait for this revival, and I'll wait, and I'll go here, and I'll go there. That's wonderful. I thank God for men that are able to yield themselves to the Holy Spirit, that God can use them. But don't forget, me and them and every one of us is 6 feet of dirt. Don't lift us up any higher than that in your mind. All that we can say is we've been with Jesus. Amen. And it doesn't stop at the preacher or the pastor or the evangelist, but you, if you haven't been, can be with Jesus too. If you want to see a revival, come start it in your own soul. Amen and amen. Come, O ye of sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord, and surely he will give you grace by trusting in his word. That's the way. Forget about that old dress and that old pair of breeches. You ought to have a calico dress on. I'm the preacher that ought to have overalls. Uh-oh. That's right. He says, amen. You know, that one don't get read a whole lot. I read it at one of our humble nights a while back, I think, but that's not one that gets read a whole lot. Why? Because he didn't want it to become about class. Amen. Didn't want it to become about who could buy the most expensive suit and who could have the finest made tie and who could do this and who could do that. He wasn't looking to those things. He was looking to the creator of heavens and earth that would come and stoop himself to where he only owned one robe. And he would kneel down in it and take a towel and gird himself and wash the disciples' feet. Fishermen's feet, dirty 6 feet of dirt, fishermen's feet. And the creator of heavens and earth came and said, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. My, help us. Who do we think we are sometimes? Yes. Believest thou this, 1951, what are you? 6 foot of dirt, amen. No better than anybody else. No better than nobody else, rather. Not many times we look and we want to compare ourselves with somebody else. Well, we're way further down the road than brother so-and-so. I was teasing one of the brothers. I sent some pastors and preacher friends and different ones a quote that I'd heard recently that I had never caught before. And I was texting it to some of them. And one brother replied back and said that he had read it about a year before. And I said, well, brother, you're a year ahead of me, but just be patient with me. I'll catch up with you. And so we begin to tease back and forth, but we were teasing about it. But some people really feel that way. Oh, poor brother so-and-so. Oh, my, just give him time. He'll catch up with the rest of us. Poor brother so-and-so. Hey, you're no better than anybody else. Amen. Well, bless God, I've been in the message 40 years. Well, praise God. There's people that's been in it 5 minutes that got the Holy Ghost through it, and they're just as saved and just as going in the rapture as you are. I'm not in it to see how many years I can be in it. I hope that we're changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. I can say, hey, there was a lot of brothers in it a whole lot longer than I was, but I took the same rapture they did. Amen. No better than it, nobody else. Right. Jesus said, who taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? Right. Can make yourself taller just by thinking real hard about it. Lord, I want to be this or I want to be that. We can't do it on our own. We're no better than nobody else. Well, but Brother Nathan, I had these experiences with, I was here with Brother so-and-so, and I sponsored this, and I did that. That's wonderful. You should do those things. Brother Nathan, I haven't missed a service in 6 months. Praise the Lord. Neither has the devil. Amen. Hey, man, we believe in going to church. I've preached it and read it enough that you know we believe in going to church, but going to church don't make you a Christian. There's multiplied millions of people going to church around the world, and there'll be a lot of them that'll be saved, and a lot of them will be in a rapture, and a lot of them will be in a devil's hell someday. Because going to church didn't make them a Christian, didn't make them saved, didn't make them filled with the Holy Ghost. It's more than that. We believe in paying tithes, and we believe in helping the widows, and we believe in sending missionaries, and we believe in passing out books and tracts, and we believe in all these things. We believe in playing tapes, and we believe in ministry, and we believe in all these things. But doing any of that isn't going to save you, and it doesn't make you better than anybody else. We do those things because we believe the Word. Amen. I'm thankful for eyes to see and ears to hear, but it don't make me no better than anybody else. We need to keep that in mind when we run into people out here in the supermarkets and the gas stations and the thrift stores and places you go. And that, well, they don't go to our church. Or, well, he does go to our church, but he don't see it exactly like I see it. Or, well, they're from out of the country, and they have a little bit different type of culture than we do. And this one and that one and all this over. You're no better than nobody else. Amen. God doesn't qualify you by years of service or years of experience or who you've rubbed shoulders with or how much money you've put into it or the color of your skin or the size of your bank account or your last name or the church that you go to or the tag or the label that you're under or the circle of brothers that you fellowship with. That doesn't make you any better than anybody else. Jesus came to save the lost. He came to save you. He came to save me. He came to save the Methodist, the Baptist, the atheist, the Pentecostal, the prostitute on the street, the sinner, anybody that'll receive it. He doesn't look at them and say, well, sorry, you're not of this, or you're not of that, or you don't belong to this, or you're not good enough. He came to save and to seek those that were lost. Amen. If they can recognize it and receive what he did for them, we have to realize we're not any better than them. If they've just came to the Lord and they've got a huge list of things that they're doing wrong and they haven't got it all figured out yet, we're not any better than them. It's just by the grace of God that we're maybe a little further up the road than they are, but we're not any better than them. You're not any better than the drunk that came to the Lord last night and got saved. If he's saved, he's just as well off as you are in the eyes of God. He's got the same eternal life that you do. Not better than anybody else. God help us to remember that we're 6 feet of dirt. And if we can put a better hat on our 6 foot of dirt than the next guy, don't make us any better than him. If we can educate our 6 feet of dirt better than the next guy, don't make us better than him. The only thing that we can glory in is that Jesus Christ would come and make himself known to us. And you know what? We didn't choose that. He chose us. Amen. I'm so thankful tonight, aren't you? Yes. Knowing that we're 6 feet of dirt, it just places us all on the same level, to where there's no big I and little you, and up here on the platform we're something, and you out there something else. No, it's all the same, 6 feet of dirt. You say, well, I'm 5 foot ten of dirt, Brother Nathan. Well, it's still the same dirt. Maybe for what you lack in height, you make up for in width. I don't know. We're all 6 feet of dirt. Amen. Let's dismiss before. I'm glad we take up the offering before I get out here and preach, or I think the offerings would fluctuate more. Somebody said, bless God, I'm 5 foot 10. I'm not putting no money in the plate tonight, but that's why we take it up when Brother Furman's just singing and everybody's happy and 6 feet of dirt. Amen. God help us. God help us to remember where we came from and what we are, and that without Jesus Christ, we're nothing. But because of him, Brother Bram said, you got a soul on the inside of there that's worth 10 million worlds. Amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in ourselves, we're nothing. Lord, in our humanity, this flesh that we have, Lord, we can't look and compare it and say, well, I'm healthier, I'm younger, I'm older, I'm smarter, I'm wiser. Lord, we're all just 6 feet of dirt. Lord, but I'm thankful that down on the inside of this 6 foot of dirt, there's a soul that's got eternal life. Lord, that's the only real value that I have. Everything else that I have, it's temporary. It'll fade. My health, if I live long enough, it'll fade. Lord, my hair, it'll keep turning more white, or it'll fall out, or whatever your will is for that. Lord, I don't have any control over that. Lord, it'll be what it is. I can't change my height. Lord, I can't make myself a different personality than what you gave me. I can't make myself a different family than what you brought me to. Lord, I can't change the color of my eyes or the color of my skin. Lord, I'm what you made me, Lord. And I don't glory in any of that, Lord, my natural heritage. But Lord, I glory tonight that you came and thought enough of me to give me eternal life, to come and die on a cross and save me. And I recognize tonight, Lord, that there's multiplied millions of others around the world that they know you as Savior. Lord, all of them may not know about God sending a prophet, and they may not have the revelation that we do. They may not be as far up the road as we are, but Lord, I believe tonight there's millions that have received you as Savior. Lord, because of that, you gave them eternal life, Lord. Lord, I pray that you bring them into more and more of the truth and fill them with your Holy Spirit, and Lord, that they'll be able to take a rapture. But Lord, whether they do or not, whether they come in as foolish virgin or whatever they'll be, whether they come in because they were kind to the bride or whatever the status will be or the category that they'll fall, Lord, if you gave them eternal life and you thought enough of them, Lord, then who are we to look and say, well, I don't want them to be there. Lord, if you cared enough to come and die for them, Lord, why would we want to stand in anybody's way? Lord, may we keep it in mind, Lord. May we never get some self-righteous idea that because of heritage or because of financial status or because of class or the circle of friends that we have the privilege of fellowship with, that we're something better than somebody else. God, we're every one of us the 6 feet of dirt that you created us. Lord, back there in the beginning when you placed Adam in the garden, Lord, and then you would take from his side a woman. They would begin to have children. Lord, we recognize we're part of that dust back there from the beginning that's come down through, Lord. Lord, without you, we're just headed back that way. But Lord, because of you, this mortal will take on immortality. Oh, help us, Lord. May all the glory go to you, Father. May all the praise go to you. Lord, may we only glory in the fact that we're so privileged to know you and have a personal relationship, Lord, that you would think enough of us to come and fill us with your Spirit, to give us eternal life. We love you, Jesus. Lord, if there's any here that, Lord, they've been puffed up by a little bit of pride because of their wisdom or their knowledge or their background or the amount of years they've been around the message, the amount of years they've been a Christian, or Lord, because they've memorized more than somebody else, or because they got more in the bank account than somebody else, or whatever it be. Lord, help us, take us back to the potter's house and remind us, Lord, if it wasn't for you, every one of us would be a failure. If it wasn't for you, every one of us would, Lord, we'd be just out in sin somewhere. We'd be out in a cold grave somewhere. But because of you, Lord, you didn't only just breathe the breath of life into our bodies, but Lord, you gave us the privilege to have eternal life if we could just receive it. What a blessed people we are, Lord. Help us never to think we're better than somebody else because of the church we go to, or the knowledge of the word that we've received, or because of the numbers in our bank account or our 401k or the model of car we drive or the amount of stories of our house or whatever it would be, Father. Lord, we're no better than anybody else. Lord, your blessings, Lord, some may be blessed more than others with better health or better finances or whatever it would be, Lord, but that don't make them any better than somebody else. Lord, the way that we're truly blessed, the prophet told us, in the church age book there, was because that you said that you loved us. Lord, other blessings, they come and go. Finances fluctuate. Health fluctuates. All these things, Lord, they come and go. They're temporary, Lord. But when you came and spoke and said you loved us, that you were with us, that you'd never leave us or forsake us, that you are a present help in time of trouble. Lord, that's how we're really blessed, Lord, to know that your abiding presence is with us. Lord, may we keep our focus on the right things, Lord. Lord, help us. May we never think that we're somebody because of any temporary thing, temporary condition that we've built up something here on this earth, Lord. So many of those things are just temporary and fleeting, and shifting sands of time will change those things. But Lord, if we glory, let us glory in you. If we praise, let us praise in your presence. If we rejoice, Lord, if we sing, if we dance, whatever it would be, let it be in your spirit. Lord, may all the glory and the praise go to you, Father, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Is that your desire tonight? Oh, just to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. Yes, Lord. On earth I long to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to think about it, how humble he came
from Bethlehem's manger, came for the stranger. On earth I long to
slip up your hand tonight and say, that's my desire.
To be like.
Oh, let all the world, let everything else fade away. On earth I long. Take all the humanity away, Lord, just to be like him. Take all of me away, Lord, and replace it with you. My pride, all my stubbornness, my old temper, my way of thinking. Lord, take it away. Oh, yes, Jesus. This is how he was on the earth.
Serene and holy. Oh,
yes, Lord. To mold us and make us, Father.
Lord, shine on me. Oh, let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. Lord, shine on me. Lord, shine on me. Oh, let the light from your lighthouse shine.
Your desire, let's stand and sing it this evening.
Oh, give me oil in my lamp, Lord, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Oh, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Just keep me burning till the break of day. Bless you. Sing it as you go this evening. Greet one another in the name of the Lord. Keep me burning till the break of day. Give me all.